This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، اليوم 15 من شهر رمضان المبارك 1445 الموافق ل 26 من شهر مارس 2024، نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك، كتاب الله عز وجل. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه، وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So inshallah we continue from where we stopped last درس. And we were talking about the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أو كصيب من السماء فيه ظلمات ورعد وبرق يجعلون أصابعهم في آذانهم من الصواعق حذر الموت والله محيط بالكافرين يكاد البرق يخطف أبصارهم كلما أضاء لهم مشوا فيه وإذا أظلم عليهم قاموا ولو شاء الله لذهب بسمعهم وأبصارهم إن الله على كل شيء قدير. الله سبحانه وتعالى Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the second type of the munafiqeen. Ibn Kathir says, هذا مثل آخر ضربه الله عز وجل لضرب آخر من المنافقين. The first group are those who believe and then they change. And the second group are those who are in doubt. They do not accept yet. But sometimes the thing will be very clear to them. They will be almost inclined to the truth and then they change their mind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described these guys, يظهر لهم الحق ويشكون تارة أخرى فقلوبهم في حالة شكهم وكفرهم كصيب. Their heart, at the moment when they're having the doubt, is just like the صيب, which is the matar, or the cloud that are full of darkness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says فيه ظلمات ورعد وبرق. That has ظلمات in it, darkness, ورعد, and also رعد, this is the thunder. And we said yesterday that there is an angel called رعد also. وبرق, and also the برق, which is the lightning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says يقول ابن So this al-dhulumat, this is shukuk. You know, al-shukuk wal-kufr wal-nifaq. Allah says, inside this matar, the rain, there is dhulumat, darkness. This darkness is referring to the shak they have in their heart, and the kufr, and the nifaq. Wa-ra'ad, and the ra'ad, ma yizuzhu quluba min al-khawf. فإن من شأن المنافقين الخوف الشديد والفزع. You know, المنافق never relax. And that's one of the disadvantages of the nifaq, apart from the kufr itself, is that they will not relax at all. Always worrying, always worrying. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يحسبون كل صحة عليهم. They always think that any shout is referring to them. Whenever you talk, they think that you are referring to them. They worry so much. Allah says, يَحْسَبُونَ كُلَّ صِحَةٍ عَلَيْهِمْ يَحْلِفُونَ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُمْ لَمِنْكُمْ وَمَا هُمْ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ يَفْرَقُونَ وَلَوْ يَجِدُونَ مَلْجَأً أَوْ مَغَارَاتٍ أَوْ مُدْخَلًا لَوَلَّوْا إِلَيْهِ وَهُمْ يَجْمَحُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about the nature of the munafiqeen, you know, that always they told the believers that we are with you. يَحْلِفُونَ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُمْ لَمِنْكُمْ. They have to do that so that they can feel, you know, protected. You know, they have to lie to the believers first. And still, whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam talk or somebody talk, you know, about something, you know, the evil in the believers, you know, they think the reference is to them. Yeah, so they never relax in their life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they always have this fear in their heart of you. وبرق والبرق ما يلمع في قلوبهم. You know, ما يلمع في قلوب هؤلاء الضرب من المنافقين في بعض الأحيان من نور الإيمان. You see, Allah SWT says, فيه ظلمات ورعد. رعد is referring to the خوف, the fear they have in their heart. وبرق, the lightning, is referring to the light of Iman sometimes, which they manage to see through it, that the Prophet ﷺ is speaking the truth, but unfortunately, soon another, you know, a situation will take place in their heart where they will reject that fact which they saw earlier. You get how Ibn al-Kathir is trying to put it, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوْ كَظُلُمَاتٍ فِي أَوْ كَصَيِّبٍ فِي كَصَيِّبٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فِيهِ ظُلُمَاتٍ وَرَعْدٌ وَبَرْقٌ. So he says the ra'ad, sayyib is the mat of the rain, and dhulumat, these are the shukuk and the dhunun, you know, the kufr that exists in their heart. Ra'ad, this is the fear of the believers, and also worrying about them to be the target of the believers. Wa barq, barq is the light of iman that sometimes appears to them, which enables them to see the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَجْعَلُونَ أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ مِنَ الصَّوَائِقِ حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَجْعَلُونَ أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ مِنَ الصَّوَائِقِ حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ. Because of the thunder, that fear, you know, they put their hand, their fingers inside their ears to protect themselves from the possible death because of the impact of the sound. You get it? But that will not benefit them at all, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what exactly they are doing. He knows what they are hiding in their heart, and what they are doing, and what they are intending. يَكَادُ الْبَرْقِ يَخْطَفَ مِنَ الصَّوَاكِ حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ وَاللَّهُ مُحِيطٌ بِالْكَافِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He already knows what exactly these guys are doing. يَكَادُ الْبَرْقِ يَخْطَفَ أَبْصَارًا. And this light is so powerful in the way it is almost going to, you know, go with their eyes. It's so strong, it is always, it's almost going to go with their eyes. يَكَادُ الْبَرْقِ يَخْطَفَ أَبْصَارَهُمْ كُلَّمَا أَضَاءَ لَهُمْ مَشَوْ فِيهِ. Whenever, you know, the light of the Iman comes, you know, أَضَاءَ لَهُمْ مَشَوْ فِيهِ, they will see that tariq, they will go and use it and get the correct path they should be using. كُلَّمَا أَضَاءَ لَهُمْ مَشَوْ فِيهِ أَوْ كُلَّمَا ظَهَرَ لَهُمْ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ شَيْءٌ إِسْتَأْنَسُوا بِهِ وَاتَّبِعُهُ تَارَةً وَاتَّبِعُهُ وَتَارَةً تَعْرِضُ لَهُمُ الشُّكُوكُ أَظْلَمَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ فَوَقَفُوا حَائِرِينَ. So sometimes Iman will come, yeah, let's go with the believers, and sometimes shak will come to them, they neglected the believers. So you see the difference between the first group. The first group, they're very clear. They were Muslimin, and then kufr, became munafiqin. The second group, sometimes Iman comes, they take it. But then shak come, reject it, go back to nifaq, you know. So they are mudhabdhabina bayna dhalik there. Neither here nor there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَكَادُ الْبَرْقُ يَخْطَفَ أَبْصَارَهُمْ كلما أضاء لهم مشوا فيه وإذا أظلم عليهم قاموا. So when the doubt is so much, you know, they left the Iman and they go back to kufr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وإذا أظلم عليهم قاموا. When the light is gone, then they stop because they cannot move anymore, they don't know where to go. That's why Ibn Kathir says they are ha'irin. Ha'irin means they are confused. They don't know what exactly they should be doing. كلما أضاء لهم مشوا فيه وإذا أظلم عليهم قاموا ولو شاء الله لذهب بسمعهم وأبصارهم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you wish, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want, he will just remove the sam', the hearing, وأبصارهم, and the seeing. ولو شاء الله لذهب بسمعهم وأبصارهم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he wish, he will just remove the eyesight and the hearing also. ولو شاء الله لذهب بسمعهم وأبصارهم إن الله على كل شيء قدير. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power and ability to do whatever He wishes. So these are the two types of the munafiqeen that were living with the Prophet ﷺ in Medina. And subhanAllah, whether the nifaq, you know, the real nifaq, or those people who are imitating the munafiqeen from among the liberals. As I told you, you will never see them relaxing. Precisely in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described their predecessors, they were like that. From the brothers and from the sisters. You know, when you watch them, you know that, yeah, this person is not living at ease. And they worry so much. And they think that every state, negative statement is directed to them. Up to this date, we still have these type of people living with us. So this is the uquba Allah SWT has given them in this dunya before the akhirah. So you want to relax in this dunya? What is the path to relaxation? Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the religion of Allah. That's the only way to relax. If you don't, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will leave you with your wisdom. You know. And you will face the challenges of this dunya. Let's see. Yeah. If that will work with anyone. It will never. So nothing left for us except to hold upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the end of the mentions about the munafiqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about them things. From his saying, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ until يَكَادُ بِالْبَرْقِ يَخْطَفَ أَبْصَارَهُمْ كُلَّمَا أَضَاءَ لَهُمْ مَشَوْا فِيهِ وَإِذَا أَظْلَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ قَامُوا. قال الله عز وجل يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون الذي جعل لكم الأرض فراشا والسماء بناء وأنزل من السماء ماء فأخرج به من الثمرات رزقا لكم فلا تجعلوا لله أندادا وأنتم تعلمون. This is the first call that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to invite the humankind, the human beings, all of them, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and using the Tawheed al-Rububiyyah here. Because Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is the Tawheed that all of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala agree with. What is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah? If you fail, then I will close this one. We go back to primary school. What is that? Shall I give you the mic? Khalik al-Malik al-Mudabbir. That's correct? Okay, thank you. So to believe, at least there is somebody who knows, you know, who remember, who revised. I think we talk about this a lot in this place. Even Tawheed al-Rububiyyah we lost. So to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Khaliq, al-Malik, al-Mudabbir, right? Allah creates and He owns and controls, right? This is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. The vast majority of the human beings accepted this. Actually, even those who reject this, they accept it from inside, but their tongue is saying otherwise. To believe that Allah creates and to believe that Allah owns all of those whom He created, and to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls everyone, He's the one in control. This is the one that they might have some problem with, this last one, but the first one and the second one, they all accept it. Allah says, if you ask them, who created the heavens and the earth, they will tell you Allah. Yeah, who created the heavens and the earth, they will tell you Allah. But they don't use this to guide them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited everyone. Say, ya ayyuha an-nas. An-nas means humans, right? Ubudu rabbakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to worship. What is ibadah? We read this in Surah Al-Fatiha, right? Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. What is ibadah? there anything that Allah hates?
Loves.
Not hate or like, what is that? To do anything that Allah loves, right? Wrong. So a president lost, that's mean the subordinate already loses. So I can just count that, khalas, everyone fails, right? We have another president, should we ask him? Or we? If His Excellency is wrong, then everyone has to be wrong. By the way, they ask Al-Hajjaj, ask one of those great scholars in language, very very big sheikh in Arabic language. So Al-Hajjaj also is very strong. So he wanted to test him because everyone is saying this one. Hajjaj is one of those sponsors. So he told him, Kam Ata'ak. Kam Ata'ak. Ata'ak is a salary. The amount the government is giving to people who are working under them. So he said, Kam Ata'ak. Ata'ak. So the sheikh, when he answered, he said, Al-Fayn. Al-Fayni. I want to relate it to my statement that when the leader is wrong, then the subordinate they are already. So he told him Al-Fayn. So that Khalifa Al-Hajjaj, you know, he started shouting, raising up his voice. Yo, the people are saying you are the best in the language and you are making these silly mistakes. He said, sir, when His Excellency is wrong, I was shy to make the correct one. So when you were wrong, I also mess up mine so that I will not be Khalil al-Adab. So what is it supposed to be the correct way? Kam ata'uk. Yeah, that's the correct way to put it. But he said kam ata'ak, intentionally to test him. So the sheikh said al-fayn. He was supposed to say al-fan. He said al-fayn. And when he asked him, why did you make this silly mistake? He said, yeah, because the leader also is wrong, so we just follow. So back to my question. Yeah. What is the answer?
To do what he commands.
To do good deeds according to the teachings of the Quran and
Sunnah. Wrong. I like this answer. He says something, aqwal and jawarih, you know? Nobody knows? Yeah. Okay, the English one.
Worship.
That's translation of the word. I want the meaning of the word.
Worship.
Uh-huh.
And the way he loves it.
And the way he loves it. Why the correct answers are always coming from the sisters? But don't you feel shy? Can you just go out and let me just teach the sisters alone? At least they said, هو فعل كل ما يحبه الله ويرضى من الأقوال. Now you remember that أقوال, right? He forgot the first part, he went to the last one. من الأقوال والأفعال الظاهرة والباطنة. Doing anything that Allah SWT loves. Don't stop here, Qayyum. That's your problem, because you stop. The first one you mentioned is correct, but you missed one of the most important part of it, which is Allah SWT is pleased with it. Yeah, because not everything Allah SWT loves, He is happy with you to do it at that time. True? Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are things which Allah SWT loves, but they don't want you to do it. Clear? Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves Hajj so much, right? Somebody made Hajj in Ramadan. And ala sunnah, he did everything Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. But in Ramadan. Which Jannah he goes? Which Jannah? Firdaus? Since Ramadan is a special month, right? But this Hajj of his, is it accepted? Salam, is it accepted? No, right. Why? Because he doesn't do it in the way Allah SWT is pleased with. Clear? You're so happy you pray Fajr, لله تعالى, to thank Allah for rakat. Yeah, because Allah SWT bless you with something that you have been looking for. You know, today you got it. So he said, Inshallah, لله علي أن أصلي الفجر 50 ركعة. 50 rakat. For the sake of Allah. Sincerely for the sake of Allah. And you are very harsh in them. Are they accepted? Why? Because Allah is not pleased with those rakat. So that's why it's necessary when you define ibadah to say that doing what Allah loves and He is happy with you to do it. At the time you do it, in the way you are doing it. Get it? That's why following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ has to be precisely in the way Rasulullah ﷺ did it. Whether it is a statement or whatever. So ibadah is a very general and comprehensive, you know, title that includes so many things. So many things. Wallahi alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. That ibadah is not only in the masjid. You are in your business, you do the halal one. Are you doing ibadah? Salam. Are you doing ibadah? Yes. And you're getting money, right? And you're getting profit, you are generating a lot, you know. You're doing ibadah. You get it? You meet your friends, sit down with them and talk in the right way. Make them happy, they make you happy. Is it ibadah? Yes. That's why they said a smart person is somebody who turns his halal things into an act of worship. Right? Into halal thing into act of worship. Is it possible? Yes. Yes. Have intention, you know, when doing anything you are doing, Allah SWT will reward you for that, even like his worship. So Allah SWT says, Ya ayyuhan nas, He invites an nas. An nas means humans, right? No. All of them. Do we include jinns here?
Just humans.
The jinns, are they included in the call also?
No.
No?
An-nas.
So, an-nas only, right? So, jinns, they just like animals, they die and turn into turab.
Different.
Or
humans.
So this called jinns are not included. So any jinn who was there when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam redeemed this ayah, he can just say this is not meant for us. Where? But I just asked Abdullah. Abdullah, you told me that it is not for the jinns.
Insan is humans. This is nas.
So nas is?
Creation. The one that sins.
I know he's going to face a problem in that. When you hear nas, the first thing that comes to your mind is
humans,
right? That's what Allah says, min al jinnati. Oh, there. That's when there are two different things, right? But are they included also taban in the command? Command to worship Allah SWT. Are they supposed to worship also? Or are they just like animals, they just do whatever they want? They have to worship also. Where do you get that they have to worship?
It's Allah commanded.
This man is very smart. He says, Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Is there any command that is directed to the jinn? Only. يَا أَيُّهَا الْجِنِّ. As soon as the jinn, is there any place in Surah al-Jinn where Allah SWT says, Ya ayyuhal jinn?
No.
But they were invited to Islam and they accepted, right? You're right. Surah al-Jinn is all about that. And also they listen to the Quran. Inna sami'na Qur'ana ajaba. They accepted it immediately. So we learned that they are also taba'an. Whether they have Rusul among them or they don't have, it's a controversial matter amongst the scholars. The best opinion is the one that says they follow the human messengers. That's why they said, Unzila min ba'd Musa, a book that was revealed after Musa alayhi salam. So that means they know Musa alayhi salam, right? And they accepted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, And they invited Rasulullah to go and teach them Islam. So they also will be going to Jannah. Is there any ayah that shows that jinn also will go to Jannah? Which ayah? Which ayah? I give you a clue? Surah Ar-Rahman. Allah says, لَمْ يَطْمِثْهُنَّ إِنْسٌ قَبْلَهُمْ وَلَا جَعَلْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they have never been touched by jinn or human being. What does that mean? Jinns also will go to paradise. So they're just like us, as they mentioned in Surah Al-Jinn, وَأَنَّا مِنَّ الْمُسْلِمُونَ وَمِنَّا الْقَاسِتُونَ. They say, وَأَنَّا مِنَّ الصَّالِحُونَ وَمِنَّا دُونَ ذَلِكَ كُنَّا طَرَائِقَ قِدَدًا. They say, we have righteous people, we have bad ones. So they have whatever you have here also they have. Muslim, Christian, whatever. And they have deviations also. A narration from some of our predecessors that one of the jinn says, we have all categories here. We have one of our early scholars, he passed away, he said, he was quoting, Assalamu alaikum. He's off. So that person was narrating a statement said by one of the jinns that they have everything amongst them. And he asked him, you also, you have firq amongst you? He said, yes. Firq means Mu'tazila, Khawarij, Shia, and all of this. Yeah. So he asked him, which one is the worst? He said, Rawafid.
There are Rawafid among the jinn.
Because Allah says, كُنَّا طَرَائِقَ قِدَدًا. We also have different sects and groups. So that narration, I can't remember who among the scholars that Sheikh of ours who passed away was mentioning, that he was speaking to somebody that he doesn't see inside his house. So he asked him, among the jinn, do you have these also? The ayah says also there are divisions. We have different approaches. And according to that story, he said, Rawafid. That's why Abu Muhammad in his Nuriya, he says, إِنَّ الرَّوَافِدَ شَرُّ مَنْ وَطِعَ الْحَصَى مِنْ كُلِّ إِنْسٍ نَاطِقٍ أَوْ جَانٍ. The worst among the creatures that ever steps on the earth, they are those Rawafid from any one who walks on the earth, whether مِنْ كُلِّ إِنْسٍ نَاطِقٍ أَوْ جَانٍ. From human beings and the jinns. So it's highly possible, Adam, to have those. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to us that they say by themselves that they have different approaches. And those who are making the ruqya to the people who are possessed, we ask some of them, we tell them, we are this, we are that. We have this. That's why they also give da'wah to them, which somehow I defer. Some of our scholars do not agree with this conversation because it's very dangerous and too risky. You know, because when you are having the conversation with them, it's very easy for you to be distracted by them. Very easy for you to be distracted. So Sheikh Nasir says, you just read the Quran and let them go. No need to ask him which country you're from, what is your name, you know, Muslim or not, you know. Yeah, they engage in long conversation between them and Shaitan. And they're very smart. Very, very smart. So the best is to read the Quran. And we know that many people are going beyond the limit in this area. So the best, just read the Quran. And that's it. Just read the Quran and inshallah the case grows. And some of them, they will bring a sister and he will put his hand on her and do the ruqya. Halal or haram?
Haram.
Because we don't need that. Even medical doctors is not allowed to touch a sister that is not his part of his mahari, unless if there is no any other sister to do it, and he need to do that, then it's okay for him to touch, to look at what he is in need of. But you have those who think that, yeah, this is the process in the ruqya, they have to hold the head and go and do the ruqya. You don't need to All that he has to do is to bring sisters to hold that person, and then he leaves. That's it. Does it work? Yeah, it does. It does. It is the same. Yeah, actually, it is. It has more impact because this one is halal. What he's doing is wrong. And shaitan might stay longer because of that. So it does. I remember the first time when somebody forced me to do the ruqya, I always stay away from it. So they force. Because the one who usually does, he said he would never do it. And subhanAllah, there was a sister who always listened to the music. I just started reading Surah Al-Baqarah and jumping. SubhanAllah, it works. As I said, it will work. You don't need to hold, you don't need to touch. You just sit in that place and read the Quran with the intention of ruqya. It's more than enough. Even like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nasu. So we said the jinns also they are. They're also invited to accept Islam and also to adhere to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to worship Him alone. U'budu rabbakum. Okay, so worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alladhi huwa rabbakum. So as I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting people to worship Him through the Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Because if you understand Tawheed al-Rububiyyah correctly, it will guide you to the Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. It is already part of the Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, but it will guide you to the Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. Because what is Rububiyyah? To accept that Allah creates, and to accept that He is the owner of all of those whom He created, and to accept that control and the command belongs to Him. To accept that He's the one who is in control, and the command can only come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala lahu al-khalqu wal-amr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So if you agree with this, what does that mean? You worship nobody except Him. And you accept instruction only from Him. You get? This is what they are supposed to be doing. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is supposed to guide them to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alone when it comes to the worship. Right? There is no ilah other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there can't be one. There is no way for you to have two ilah in this dunya. No way. It has to be only one. Otherwise, if you have two ilah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِهَةٌ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَفَسَدَتَا. If you have two ilah in this life, in this heavens and earth, other than Allah, destruction, the heavens and the earth will never be in the way they are. Allah says, إِذَا لَذَهَبْ كُلُّ إِلَاهٍ بِمَا خَلَقْ اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ مِنْ وَلَدٍ وَمَا كَانَ مَعَهُ مِنْ إِلَاهٍ إِذَا لَذَهَبْ كُلُّ إِلَاهٍ بِمَا خَلَقْ. If you have two, each one of them will go with whatever he created. And also, even if they cooperate, both of them, the creation most likely will never be in the way we see it nowadays. You see a lot of differences even among the human beings. So when we see the structure of human beings and the nature of human beings remaining the way it is, we learn that Allah is one. The one who is doing all of this is only one. So, أَوْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ. The one who created you. وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. And those who came before you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Yeah, so that you can attain the taqwa. So ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help you to have the taqwa of Allah. What is taqwa?
Consciousness.
What is consciousness?
To be aware that Allah is always watching.
Be aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always watching. Amen?
Yeah. And He'll hold you accountable for you.
He holds you accountable of?
Of actions.
He will hold you accountable. And then?
To worship Him as if He...
Do you have... Okay, let me stop. Let me stop you from prolonging this debate. You know. Do you have scholars? I mean, corrupted, you know, who are corrupt?
Yes.
Do they know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Yes.
Or they don't?
Yes.
So those scholars, they don't know Allah, right?
Yeah.
So they're scholars in what? They teach Quran, Sunnah, they always say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And then still they get corrupt. They know Allah, and they know that there is hisab on the day of judgment. They know. And they teach people. They tell us, oh, you be careful, tomorrow you will come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they're the worst, you know, amongst the creation. وَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ الَّذِي آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا فَأَتْبَعَهُ الشَّيْطَانُ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ. They recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know He will hold them responsible for what they're doing, but still they do. Do they have taqwa in their heart? No. So that means taqwa is something beyond what you just mentioned. Okay? What is taqwa then?
Fear.
Fear doesn't go. You have those people who go to the forest and they don't do anything except to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't mix with people. They don't eat good. They don't do it because of this fear. They think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so scary, then they don't attach to their activities the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They just depend on the fear. They get lost. Yeah. We have a lot of them who get lost because of that. So we translate taqwa with the fear, right? Yeah. But the real meaning of taqwa is not, it's not this. So what is taqwa?
It's to love and fear at the same time. It's to worship.
Those are the pillars of worship.
Working with obedience to Allah.
Yeah?
Working with obedience to Allah.
Being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, let me accept this one to close the page of the other wrong answers, you know. So they said taqwa, because your taqi is to have a shield, you know, like the turs, you know, like the armor, like the shield, something that you're using to protect yourself from things that are coming to you. Let's say somebody is shooting you with arrows. What do you have? You have the diraqa, that shield, right? You're trying to protect yourself from reaching you. Somebody's trying to hit you with a spear. You're trying to block him with something. What are you doing? Taqwa. Using something to protect yourself from the evil of what is coming to you. That's taqwa. Is that clear? So if I apply the same thing when it comes to the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does that mean? To put between you and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is strong barrier and shield and fortress to protect you from it evil. So you don't want to go to hell. What do? You observe the taqwa. What is taqwa in this regard? Have a barrier between you and hell. What is that barrier? Practicing the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the taqwa. So those scholars that I have mentioned, they know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know who is Allah. Even Fir'aun knows who is Allah. That's why the last minute of his life, what did he say? Yeah, he said, Ahmad, he believed. But it doesn't work because it was too late. So knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not enough if you don't put that into action. Yeah, you know Allah and you act upon that knowledge, then yes, you are the muttaqi. You have the knowledge, you don't act upon it. What is that? That knowledge is useless. And you are not among the people of the taqwa. Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ Complete. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء. The one who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from among his slaves are the scholars. Why is that? Because only, you know, a scholar has a true fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the real knowledge is the one that guides you to the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when I say scholar, I mean in general. If you see a person observing the taqwa, the correct taqwa, this person is a scholar within that little knowledge he has. You get it? But the real one, the one who has the most perfect taqwa, are those people who study about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they act upon their knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ubudu Rabbakum." So the ibadat that you are doing, activities you are doing in this life, they are supposed to lead you to the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the best acts of worship that you do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeking knowledge. Which one is better, jihad or knowledge? Jihad, right? Today you fail a lot. Knowledge is better.
If you die in jihad, you go to Jannah forever.
If you die in knowledge, you go to?
Jannah, but not, you still have to go through the day of judgment.
Okay, Adam, you know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the prophets, the scholars, they are the inheritors of the prophets. Shaheed is not like that. That's why the scholar said, Al-Ilm. Imam Muhammad said, Al-Ilm, لا يعدله شيء لمن صحت نيته. That is nothing that is equivalent to knowledge as long as the intention is correct. Jihad is supposed to be based on knowledge. Without knowledge, that jihad will be placed in the wrong place. Jihad has principles, right?
Yeah.
If the person doesn't know, they have to rely upon the scholars to give them fatwa to go. Jihad is so important, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, people shouldn't go, all of them. There has to be about some people who remain and study so that they can educate others. You get it? So nobody, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِخَيْرًا. He did not say, اجعله مُجَاهِدًا. Of course, it's good. He said, if Allah wants good for you, He will grant you ability to learn the deen, knowledge of the deen. If Allah wants good for you, He will grant you, He will make you among the student of knowledge. So that's why knowledge is the best. Much better than anything else, because every single thing in the Sharia is based on knowledge. Allah says, فَعَلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. He says, فَعَلَمْ. He says, you have to know first. So he started with knowledge before Tawheed. Yeah. Before even Tawheed. You get it? Because Tawheed without knowledge, which Tawheed you are doing? You end up committing shirk, trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why scholars and the student of knowledge, nobody is like them in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. None, as long as they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I really congratulate you and also advise you to be sincere in what you do and to be serious. Don't miss any class that you go and learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the best time you have in this dunya. Wallahi, don't give excuses. We have a lot of classes going on in this university of ours. Okay, you might agree with some, you don't agree with. And in most of these classes, you find only secret, little amount of people go into the class. What happened to the rest? Inshallah, nafsin al-dhan nabi. Right? But only a loser will stay away from the places of remembrance. So be among the student of knowledge if you can't be among the scholars. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الدُّنْيَا مَلْعُونَ وَمَلْعُونُ مَا فِيهَا إِلَّا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ وَمَا وَعَلَهُ وَعَالِمٌ وَمُتَعَلِمٌ. Dunya is curse. And whatsoever is in dunya is also curse. Except the dhikr of Allah, and anything that is related to it, and a student, and a scholar. These are only four things that are not cursed in this dunya. So if you are not one of these, you're in trouble. So knowledge is the best. So one of the best acts of worship you will do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is knowledge. And knowledge, if it doesn't lead you to the taqwa of Allah, that knowledge is useless. We have scholars who are so arrogant. There are scholars who are so corrupt. This knowledge is useless. That's why one of the Shafi'i scholars said, وَعَالِمٌ بِعِلْمِهِ لَا يَعْمَلًا مُعَذَّبٌ مِنْ قَبْلِ عُبَّادٍ وَثَلٍ. And a scholar who is not using his knowledge might be punished on the Day of Judgment before the idol worshippers. You see, the position of a scholar is so big in the hereafter. And it is also too dangerous for you to have the knowledge but you don't use it correctly. clear, inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Ibadah is supposed to lead you to taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I pray to Allah, I'm supposed to have an increase in the taqwa. I give zakah, I'm supposed to have the increase in the taqwa. I do the silat al-rahim, I'm supposed to have the increase. I go and visit the sick person, I'm so supposed to have more taqwa. It's good to go. I visit the grave, I'm supposed to have more taqwa. Every single thing that is called ibadah, it is supposed to lead you to the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who made the earth for you, firashah. Firash means? Like a mattress, but something that is flattened in the way you can walk on it comfortably. Yes, firash. Like carpet. And the heaven, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala built it on top of it. It has a wisdom. That's what it does. The benefit of having all of these things, I think science talk about some. Very little of them. Otherwise, the real Sama, is there anyone who went to that place? Never. Except the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Isa alayhi wa sallam. And the soul of the people, only the believers. The non-believers, they will never get inside the heavens. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا تُفَتَّحُنُمْ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ وَلَا يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى يَلِجَ الْجَمَلُ فِي سَمْبِ الْخِيَاطِ. They will not go to paradise. And they will not even get inside the sama. If you see them going to the paradise, that means camel is able to go inside the hole of a needle. You know that one they have screen, right? To put the thread, right? How do you put camel inside? This is just a way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to understand that there is no way for these guys to go to Jannah. وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءَ وَأَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً وَأَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent from the sama. The sama here is referring to the clouds, right? Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the rain from them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought out, you know, with this water from the fruits, you know, different types, as a means of sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, risk from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you. How much are we paying for this? Having this sama covering us, no, protection for us, and having the earth being placed in the way we feel comfortable to stay on it, and sending the rain down for our plantation, you know, to grow the fruits and the grain we need to survive, giving us the water to drink. How much are we paying for this? Is there any, are we supposed to pay? Yes. The payment is the iman. That's why a kafir is going to be punished on the day of judgment for taking these things without paying the due price. You get it? The payment, you know, is iman. Allah says, قُلْ هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا خَالِصَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And subhanAllah, how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is spending to keep this system intact? Nobody can imagine. Wallahi, all of these are more than enough for a smart person to understand that only Allah SWT is supposed to be worshipped. And nobody deserves your action except Allah Rabbul Alameen. You want to drink water, you have. You don't know how much terrible is this until you live in the place where you see those people who have to go kilometers for them to get one drop of water. Some are drinking water with the dogs and snakes and donkeys. Very dirty water, but they drink. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting them from anything, you know. Why? Because of the need. Yeah. And you have it? Yeah. In the way we have, right? Do we appreciate that? No. Yeah, and other than that, whatever you need, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving. And he put it in a way, inshallah, it will not finish, you know. And the scholar said, look at how Allah SWT made the system. You see, the most important thing in your life is what? Water, right? In food, water is more important than the food. Because food, you can survive without food for how long if you have water?
3 weeks.
Up to 40 days. Yeah, Sheikh Nasir bin Albani said he was having a sickness that the doctor told him that the best medicine for you is to stay away from food for 40 days. He did. He says, I'm the one who experienced this. He said, I lived for 40 days, nothing except water. After that, he said, yes, you were right, but alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sickness was gone. Yeah, but he survived. But how about water? How long you can survive? 3 days. So you can see in most of the countries, if you're not living in Korea, in most of the countries, water is one of the cheapest things. Right? Yeah, that's if you want the clean one. Yeah, you can buy the bottle one ringgit, or even lesser, or you could just go with 50 cent and fill the big thing, you know, and drink. And if you want to go with the village, then just drink your water from the well directly, and that's it, you know, and become healthier than us. So I just want you to understand how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supporting us. He make it cheap, you know. One of the easiest things, because it is necessity, more necessary to you than the food. However, there is something bigger than this. You know, you need it more than the water, which is the air. And if you don't pay the water bill, they cut the water, right? And even the water bill is, in comparison to the electricity, is very little, you know. And in some places, actually, the government has a certain amount. If you don't exceed this one, you don't pay it. You get it? But the air, can you, how much you can stay without having the air? How much you can live?
1 minute, 2 minutes?
Few minutes, you know, and then you will start, you know, suffocating and start telling us you're going. Yeah. Subhanallah. Did you ever witness a country whereby the government is controlling the air?
No.
We don't like you, so we will not give you the air to breathe, you know. Never happened. Wallah. Did you ever think about this, that this is ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He keep it with Him? Because you can't live without it. The most arrogant and the worst person also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. Everyone can take. Because it's part of our necessities. And not only that, the scholar said, this air is also a creation from Allah. True? And every creation usually has an end, finish, except those Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them without end. This oxygen, can it finish? Yes. That's why in some places, you know, even in an aeroplane, they tell you if you don't have oxygen, they will bring the box, the mask, you know, and just put it and then breathe normally. They give you support because the one inside the aeroplane is gone or is deficient. He said, look at how Allah is going to protect us, because it will finish, because we are taking, we are consuming, right? One day, we will wake up without oxygen. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created around us, you know, some other creation that need what we are taking out. And you breathe out, the carbon. Yeah. Those ones, they will take it, and they will produce oxygen. Subhanallah. So that the system and the life will be continuous. How much you do to appreciate this? So this is what Allah SWT is doing here, to remind you about what He is doing to you. His ni'mah, I give you this, I give you that, I give you this, I give you that. But still, where are you? I ask you to come to the masjid, you're absent. I ask you not to be in the wrong place, you are there. I ask you not to do this, you're doing. You forgot all of these ni'mah, and nobody provided this for you. The Prophet ﷺ said, Yadullahi mal'a. This hadith is really beautiful. He says, the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are full of bounties. Sahaul Layli wa Nahar is the most generous one you can ever imagine. In the night and the daytime. He gives everyone. Just try to, you know, reflect upon how many creations Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. In all of their time, insects, human beings. Every single one of us is always asking Allah to give every single second. Every single second in this dunya, you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support you. Every single second. You Allah. Every single second. Actually, less than that. There is no way for you to live without having Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supporting you. If you withdraw, that's equal to death. That's disaster. But He supports everyone. He controls everyone. He feeds everyone. He gives you whatever you ask for. And more than what you ask for, He protects everyone. Defend everyone. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no way for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to sleep. It is inappropriate for Him actually to sleep. Because He is the caretaker of the heavens and the earth and everything He created. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أُنْذُ إِلَيْهِ كَمْ أَنْفَقَ مُنْذُ خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. He said, sit down and have reflection upon that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been spending, what He spent from the time He created the heavens and the earth. How much is that to keep the system intact? So therefore, human beings, nothing fit them except to recognize Allah as the only one to be worshipped and to put this into practice. Not just to say He is the only one and then you do other things. No, He is the only one to be worshipped, which means I'm going to live as a Muslim. And I'm going to do nothing except that which He wants. You get it? That's the meaning of Islam. If you know the meaning of Islam, then you'll begin to ask, am I really, really a good Muslim or not? Because Islam means a total submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ask yourself, how many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell me not to and I do? How many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked me to do and I did not do? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He did all of these things for you. You don't pay anything for that. Free of charge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is given. And He doesn't mind. Who is obeying, who is not obeying? It doesn't change the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's still giving. Every day we're committing sins, right? Even the Muslims, right? Don't say, no, this is kuffar. No, Muslims also. Sometimes Muslims are more corrupt than the kuffar. Although, if you count the kufr, then the kuffar will always be on top. You get it? But in terms of corrupting the community, you know, physical corruption, and sometimes some Muslims, well, he has been there. But still, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. That's part of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Do not associate partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you, well, you know that nobody deserves to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting us through the Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, to recognize Him as the only one who is supposed to be worshipped. And there's a first invitation by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to both humans and the jinns. They're all included here. Yeah, although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favors the human being and talk about them, but the jinns also are included. May Allah grant us good and ability to worship Him in the way He wants. Okay, let's go to questions, inshallah. Any question?
No, I'm sure.
Barakallahu feekum. Barakallahu feekum, Sheikh. Jazakum al khairan. First question, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Someone used to talk with Allah everything and find comfort with Allah. Allah cures and grants rizq and contentment in the heart. But in certain situations of family, causes the person to take means such as psychologists to improve the person's health. Why riba seem like the trying to present? What?
Is it a manuscript? Then move to the next question.
Why riba seems to drive a person onto instability?
Yes. Riba, driving a person into a state of
instability.
But is there any result for taking riba other than that? Because Allah, if she's talking about riba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, taking riba is equal to waging war against him. That's why our economic system, let me just answer this wrong question, and then I come back to the correct one, inshallah. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why the system here is always shaky. Never be straightforward, and it cracks. The economic system, financial system that we are, you know, basing our life on, never been stable at all, because it is based on riba. Yeah. So the system is in a war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so it cannot succeed at all. So that's my answer to that question, whether it is correct or wrong, but let's see how they...
From what I understand of what this person is asking, is that they're completely sane and they find they have solace with Allah and they're fine, but their family is pushing them to go to a psychologist. So can't be, they know that if they go to the psychologist, they will be cleared as fine. So can they go to the psychologist just to show the family like I'm fine?
Yeah, it's okay. If the family think they are not okay, yeah. Because sometimes family thinks somebody is majnoon.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly.
Yeah, there is a case where the family reported a young boy to a sheikh. They told him, please advise him. He needs some advice because he is majnoon. So the sheikh invited the boy and he talked to him. Subhanallah. He found out actually the family are majaneen. He is the only one who is okay. You Allah. The boy talked nicely and he told him, no, this is the family. This is what they are inviting me to do. When I deny, they call me majnoon. They told me, come on, commit sin. He said, these are sinful things, you know. And subhanAllah, he told the sheikh, he said, sheikh, your khutbah and your lectures, I can tell you what you are saying. I memorize almost whatever you are saying. In lectures so and so, you said this and that. He said, sheikh said, even things which I forgot myself. But so he said, I realized that I should call the parent back for consultation, not him. Yeah. So if they think you are majnoon, ask them, how do I get out of this junoon? If they will be okay with the counselors, go to the counselor. But sometimes, even after the counselor, that junoon will never go. Yeah, because they want to see your aql being attached to haram thing. As long as you're not doing the haram thing, they still see you as majnoon. So what can you do in this case? Just say, Alhamdulillahi ala al-junoon. Yeah, if following Allah is junoon, then Alhamdulillah, that's junoon, Alhamdulillah. May Allah bring more, you know? You get it? So we have to really be very careful. If they want you to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you don't do that and they call you certain names, don't worry. Just let them go ahead. Allah grant us good.
Next question. Can a person seek help from psychologists?
Yes. Yes, you can seek help from anyone. Yeah, but you have to be very careful. Get the correct psychologist. Okay? Not just Muslim psychologists. No, correct psychologist. And a good psychologist. Otherwise, psychologist will take you to the wrong way. Your sickness will increase. I remember a person who became majnoon, literally majnoon, after visiting a psychologist. Yeah. Because sometimes psychologists will ask you to go through what Sharia says, haram. But to them, this is the remedy. Yeah. So, need to visit a psychologist that fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and knows how to talk and will guide you to the correct solution to your problem.
The next question, Sheikh, question from my brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ya Sheikh. Ahsanallahu alaikum fi dunya al-akhirah. A sister in my workplace has turned down a marriage offer. I try my best to not see her, alhamdulillah, but seeing her name alone still makes me feel ishq. I prayed istikhara and approached her in the best way possible. So why is it still hard to move on when this is what Allah has chosen for me? Should I try to find another job to move away from her completely?
Or you advise her to move? another joke. How should I answer this question? I mean, what do you expect in a place where both are mixing in the wrong way? What do you expect to happen other than this? In any place. And sometimes, subhanAllah, we deceive ourselves through the organizations we have, you know, because in some organizations people think that as long as we are doing things for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we are free. And this also creeps to the societies, the Islamic societies in the universities. Like some of these societies, you know, subhanAllah. I was supposed to give a lecture in one of the universities under the Islamic society of that place. SubhanAllah. Just because I reached that place, otherwise I would just cancel the offer and go back. The way I see them mixing, as if you are in a wedding ceremony, no barrier between the two genders. Laughing, chatting, is just what the husband and wife are doing when they sit and converse, no barrier. And then tomorrow when things happen, we come and... So we have to be very careful. I'm saying this because I have seen that whenever we have society or we have anything that is putting us together in the university, you see, out of this place we have the barrier, but in this place we don't have. So the question is, why the double standard and two faces with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So we have to be very careful. So what can he do, this person? Yeah. If it is becoming fitna for him, I will advise him, sure, to leave that place and go and look for another job. You know, because we don't know what will happen in the future between him and her. I will advise him to leave that job, give himself relief, go and look for something else. It's better for him. And also to tell him that, you know, as a man, this is very shameful. You Allah. Very shameful. And disrespect to the rest of the man. To hang around one sister as if there is no any other sister on earth except her. How many sisters Allah created? How many? The finish? That was the last one. You Allah, why would a person hang his heart, you know, to somebody and then thinking about nobody except that one? When she said no, what does that mean?
No.
No. You know, as a man, if you qualify the word, you know, man, what does that mean? Close that page and say, no problem. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good. And close that page and go. If it is written for you, uqsimu billah, it will come. I told you last time about one of our classmates in Medina who wants to approach a sister for a marriage, and they told him, no, we will give you, but you cannot come closer to her until she graduates. We will arrange the marriage now, but you cannot approach her until she graduates. Still remember him. His name is Ibrahim. Oh, not mention the other name.
Not this one.
The other one. So, he said, I don't want. Full stop. That was a condition, the parent insist, he also said, I don't want. SubhanAllah. He closed that page completely and went and looked for another wife. That was what's supposed to be done. He married. Trust me. They came to him because the girl, you know, opened fire in the house, says she wants nobody except him. They came to him after the first marriage and now she has to be the second wife. And Ragman and whom they gave him, because she said she wants to be with him alone. Well, that's life. So that's why I said it's wrong for a person to think it this way. And the same goes to the sisters. Wallahi, it's wrong for a sister to hear that a sister hanging around one person thinking that if she doesn't get, we have heard some of them committed suicide. not very long, there was a sister, they managed to get her, almost going to kill herself, because her boyfriend neglected her. I mean, it's that which you can understand, but boyfriend neglecting her and going to throw herself from the building to kill herself because she thinks life is not good anymore. What is this? Wallahi, this is disease. How many brothers we have? Although they are little nowadays, right? But how many were? They finished? Look at these guys. Allah guide them. And if you go out, you see a lot of them also like that, right? A lot of you are outside, right? So what I'm trying to say is, my message to this person and anyone who is suffering from this, yes, it's good to protect yourself and marry. When you propose to a sister and she said no, just close that page. And it is not even good for a person. Take this from me. It is not good for you to convince a woman to marry. It's not good for you. The same goes to the sister. It's not good for her to convince a man to marry her. It's not good. Because that marriage is based on, you know, force somehow. Once that person start to see something other than what they are expecting, they will go back to their old behavior. That's how it is. So you look for her hand, she said, no, just close that page and look for somebody else. Alhamdulillah. She looked for his hand, he said, no, close that page and look for somebody. Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَخَيْرًا. Wallahi, he doesn't know. When you, especially marriage, when you look for marriage and Allah doesn't want it to happen, Allah say, Alhamdulillah, and go forward. You might marry that person and cry, literally cry. You become old before your age. You know. Allah grant us good. So this is my advice to the brother. If he is really suffering from this feeling and he is meeting the sister every time, and he cannot control himself, I will advise him to look for another job. It's better for him. Okay. Any last word?
Next question, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Ahsanallahu alaikum. Regarding the last 10 nights of Ramadan, is it better to stay awake the whole night or to get some rest to get energy for ibadah?
To stay awake for the whole night. If you don't have a job in the morning, if you have a job in the morning, then it's better to sleep, you know, so that you can be productive also. Sleep very early, so that you will wake up early and benefit from the last part of the night. But if you don't have a job, for instance, the students, if let's say they have online classes, I don't know what more they have, but you have online classes, then I will suggest making night a day. Spend the whole night worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then in the daytime, attend your class and sleep. Get something to wake you up. Alarm clock, if that's good. But if you are free in the morning, this is my advice to you. Spend the whole night worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then sleep. If you have a job in the morning, then it's good to have some energy for your responsibility.
Doing online class. And the last question,
inshallah. A question from Brother Hanan. While holding the Mus'haf in our hand during the Salah, should we only use our right hand to hold it, or is there nothing specific?
The question should be, is it even halal to hold or not? Right? Before we start asking which hand, you know, the question is, it halal to hold the Quran or not? It is. Okay, Mufti Mazin says it is. So take the fatwa from Mazin, you can hold the Quran and... I will advise not to. Although it doesn't, inshallah, affect your prayer if you hold the Quran, but I will advise not to. Because sometimes when you hold the Quran and you're following the Imam, this is the Taraweeh, right?
Yeah,
if you're following the Imam, sometimes your eyes will see something, the Imam is reading something else. And the Imam is correct, and your eyes do not see the thing correctly because you don't memorize the Quran, so you think the Imam is reading incorrectly. That's why some imams got annoyed, and they do have a right to get annoyed. Because everyone is correct. And correction in the wrong way. Why? Because they're watching. And also when you're holding the Quran, it takes your attention. That's why the best, just come to the masjid, hold your hand like this and listen to the imam. That's it. Focus on the recitation. But can you do it? Yes, it's okay to do. And if you are going to do this as Quran, use your right hand to hold Quran. That's very obvious. But is it the best thing to do? No, shouldn't. Just listen to the imam and that's it.
If he's praying alone.
If he's praying alone, also the same thing. Keep reading Qul Huwallahu Ahad. If that is the only thing you memorize, repeat it a lot. Trust me, it's better to read those small surah that you memorize, better than having the Quran reading from the Quran. Because it takes your consciousness. Get it? Yeah. You memorize only the last 10 surahs, repeat them. A lot. Rasulullah has been repeating some of the ayat a lot. You get it? Alhamdulillah, most of the Muslims memorize a lot of surah, although they are short, but that's alhamdulillah, that's more than enough. When you read Quran with the Quran, with the Mus'haf, you sit down and read, not in the grave. But it's okay to do. Okay? If somebody wants to do, it's okay to do, but I'm just advising you, to do that which is better for you, inshallah. Mark.
And have a Quran on his hand. Like when it comes to sujood, he will not be able to to fulfill the arkan of sujood, the seven, completely. So he said he doesn't accept that. Like the prayer is not
so
complete.
Many, so many things, because sometimes even the ruku, the track that people are in, he wants to do the ruku, okay? And this is Quran, he has two options. Either to keep it in his hand, or to put it down. When you put it on the ground, there's disrespect to the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does he do? Sometimes he holds it like this. So he put. So you see the placing of the hand is not properly done in the ruku. And sometimes he put it here. And also it's not good for the Quran to be placed here. Right? This place is not a place of this is the place of our sah, that's why Sharia says to remove the hand that is coming from that place. Do you get it? So the sujood is going to be affected, and sometimes when they make the sujood, they put the Quran like this, and they go for the sujood. Even focusing on that Quran is there, you're trying to raise it up, and not all of your fingers touching the ground. Why? That's why I really advise the person who is using this fatwa to hold the Quran when you are praying behind the imam, or you're praying alone, change his mind. Keep the Quran aside. Just read whatever you memorize and that's it. No need to finish the Quran or to read long surahs. What is the difference between Baqarah and Surah Al-Nas? This one is long, this one is short. In terms of reward, I read Surah Al-Baqarah, Adam read Surah Al-Nas. 1 hour of reading, 1 hour of he read Surah Al-Nas the same amount of the letters of Surah Al-Baqarah. Who is better in terms of reward? Same. But people have been that feeling that the one who is reading Baqarah is better than the one who is reading Surah Al-Nas, but this is not true. He is only better than him because he read a lot. That's it, but Quran is Quran. Quran is Quran. Rasulullah, to my knowledge, never said, if you read Surah Al-Baqarah, you get more reward than Surah Al-Nas. No, it doesn't. So when you do the night prayer, just come according to your ability. Fattakullaha mastata'atum. Whatever you have, the little you have, just read that one. Happy. InshaAllah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. InshaAllah. La ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum.